This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was back on my show back in January here, 2020. We're talking no other than Tetra Biopharma Inc. You can find them on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol TBPMF. Also, you can find them on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol TBP. And with us today is Dr. Guy Chamberlain. He's the CEO and Chief Scientist and Officer for the company. Dr. Chamberlain, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. We're always happy to be on your show, and hopefully our shareholders will continue to listen and be happy with the progress we've been making as a company.
Well, let's talk about that progress. You know, one of the questions I wanted to put towards to you was the Quick Sleep Clinical Site. It received a renewed DEA license, and now I guess the trial can move forward. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's actually a very good question, because a lot of people I've seen in, you know, traders blog, people don't understand. They said, well, the site had a DEA license, so why do you need to renew it? And the way it works is the Drug Enforcement Agency has to approve the site even before we apply to the FDA. But that's kind of like your basic, you know, site license to operate for Schedule One. But once you get the drug approved for a trial by the FDA, the site then has to go back to the DEA, and the DEA has to add that trial to your license. So you kind of resubmit paperwork. It was slower than it should have been with the COVID crisis in the state, but I think that's now a global issue in terms of speed. And so that the DEA issues a new license to the site that recognizes that you can ship your drug to that site. So that was kind of an essential one. So I know a lot of people really didn't understand why we renewed if the site had just been, you know, granted its approval, you know, some months ago. And that's the technical reason why. So now we have no more barriers. We just have to work with our suppliers to get the botanical drug and basically convert it to the quick leaf finished product and ship to the site, and then start enrolling patients. So we're very, very happy about this achievement.
And that will what be? Is that will be phase two or phase three?
It's a phase two, three trial that we call. In drug development, we kind of do the name trials by the way they're designed. So it's kind of a pivotal trial. So if the outcome is very good versus placebo, then we can use, because it's cancer patients, we can use some of what we call the expedited pathways to get to the market. If it's not as good as we hope for, which as happens in clinical development, then we may need a second trial to go forward. But considering the potential of, you know, cannabis being smoked for centuries on Earth, we have a pretty good feeling that we're going to have a very good outcome, especially if it's against placebo. I'm not like going ahead against another analgesic like morphine or something. So our chance of winning against placebo should be pretty good, especially after hundreds of years of people continuing to use medical cannabis.
Well, you know, the second question I wanted to ask you, if you could bring us up to speed, is talk about the Oakler orphan drug designation. Where are we at in the process of that with the PPP 003 progress?
Yeah, this one came as a kind of a surprise to me. I knew we had submitted it, but we had done our experimental studies to demonstrate that our drug, which is a synthetic cannabinoid, would be able to help patients with this condition. And it's a pretty severe condition because, you know, you're talking about basically, you know, repairing retinal detachments and, you know, stopping the inflammation. And it's very complex. And right now there's no drug that's even approved to help these patients.
That's amazing.
You're looking at blindness and things like that. So when the FDA granted this to us for prevention of this condition, this is a very big opportunity for Tetra. So now we're just assessing our 003 program. Actually, this week, we will probably prioritize this versus our painful dry eye, because this is, you know, be the first drug approved indication.
And what is the importance of Tetradermal Orphan Drug Designation Program right now?
Well, overall, over the years, we've had our what we call our 2004 program, which was really like many other companies, we had looked at developing cannabinoids for topical indications. But, you know, you got to look at the competition. Like I said, many companies have been doing the same. So you want to find niches. How GW could they grew up. You go back 20 years ago, GW began with orphan indications, which today we all know one of them or two of them, which is the indications of the Epidiolex approvals. And so GW's valuation had been completely based, actually, under, in my opinion, under orphan drug designations and probably the quality of the management in their company as well, until they started to get Sativex approved, and then obviously that exponentially, I gotta say, impacts your valuation. So for us, it was the same, I guess, approach is let's go after, create, and basically I'll call it a pipeline of orphan indications for some of our drugs. And if we get those, then obviously this will now pave a very unique path because it's ours and it's protected for 7 years, just like GW was protected, is still protected for 7 years post the approval of Epidiolex. And that's key. Many biotechs go down this path. I mean, I've been in the world of drug development since 1995, and you see multiple small U.S. companies grew up basically beginning as an orphan company. Some are even flies in this field. For Tetra, this is a game changer.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the game plan here, if, say, the second and third quarter? Where do we go from here?
I think you've seen the COVID strategy of Tetra is, our strength has been to prepare and submit orphan drug applications for one, as well as other regulatory applications. And, you know, I'll explain, a lot of shareholders want to understand what's involved in an orphan drug application. Well, one, you need to do the basic science. So you need to develop the science to convince the FDA that your drug can potentially work in this indication. And then you need to do the actual epidemiological studies. Based on the literature, demonstrate to the FDA what the prevalence of the disease in the country, and then there's a whole process of submitting and applying. If you've done them before, it's not that complex, but a lot of people fail in getting orphan drugs because they can't answer those two questions. One, convince the FDA that your drug can potentially work in terms of mechanism to help the disease, or two, because, you know, your population is way beyond what's required for the orphan drug status. So that's been one of our strategies. The other is making sure we apply multiple, I'm going to say, regulatory types of projects to be sure that everything's lined up so the day that when our hospitals come back to a normal pace, that Tetra will be in a position to accelerate post-COVID. Because right now, obviously, you know, some of the, for example, if I had a trial site in New York State, I'm the last person they want to hear right now, which is normal, and it's what, you know, we'd expect. But we still need to be ready as a company. So we're making sure we filed all the regulatory approvals we need. We're doubling the clinical sites that we will require for some of our, so they say we get back to normal, we'll actually be able to speed up and hopefully recover some of the time lost because of COVID.
My guest today has been Dr. Guy Chamberlain. He is the CEO and chief scientist of Tetra Bio Pharma Inc. You can find him on the OTCQB, ticker symbol TBPMF. You can also find him on the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture under the ticker symbol TBP. I'm going to give you the last words here, Dr. Chamberlain. What is it that you want your stockholders and my listeners to take away from the interview today?
Well, basically that Tetra Bio Pharma is working full speed, that our staff is safe. We had a very virtual model, so to adapt to COVID was very simple. Just our manufacturing site, we had to do special procedures, but overall our core strength being the clinical research and the regulatory, well, that's moving full speed ahead. And I'd even actually say something that people might be amazed by. The fact that I have no staff traveling around the world means we're actually working a lot more. I'm actually more busy. We're traveling my company, so also looking at things getting back to normal just for that, so I have time to focus on my routine job. But this is great. It's great to see the hard work the company is putting in and how much work is actually being generated because everybody's basically focused on their job, which is great.
Dr. Chamberlain, thank you so much for stopping by and coming on the show. I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing out there. Hopefully you'll come back on the show in 35 or 45 days and give us an update.
Definitely, definitely. Things will move, so yes, we should make it a date.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. This